The Magi remain mysterious, despite a couple thousand years to figure them out. We sing about them as kings. Tradition has given them names, though their identities weren't recorded in scripture, and these names emerged in lore much later. We see them depicted in art with camels, with crowns or elaborate turbans, with all manner of grandeur attached to them. All of this is extra, though, the work of many people's imaginations to try to make sense of this strange and wonderful story. The one word that is translated for us as wise men stands in for countless possibilities. It is magoi in the Greek, which can be helpful to us in setting aside some of the well-worn notions we bring to this story. The Magi, as we might better call them, bring so much more with them than kings might. They could be priests from Persia or Babylonia. They might have studied astrology or magic or a more enchanted understanding of the world than we tend to hang on to today. They may have been physicians or healers, magicians or seers or interpreters of dreams. The Magi could be so many things, so many professions, arriving from so many different backgrounds, that it makes it almost impossible to sift out who they really were. Maybe because of all this ambiguity, I find myself being drawn to what they do. We don't know who they are. We do know about the actions the Magi take, and at least to a small degree, what guides their actions. Try to take in this familiar story again, as if you've never heard it before. Wise ones, ones who have studied and questioned and learned as a way of life, ones who understand that the world is a thoroughly sacred place. They have paid such close attention to the wonders of the world that they notice when something changes. They see a star appear and they let their curiosity lead them, pulling them to find out why, to go and see for themselves what new thing has arrived. They leave what is comfortable and familiar and set out, traveling far from home to follow this longing. They remember the wisdom of the prophets, even prophets from beyond their own tradition, and they let this guide them too. When they arrive, they bring gifts. They enter humbly with awe and generosity. They take nothing for themselves. They leave behind their gratitude and respect. And finally, they listen to the dream that arrives for them. They take heed and they get creative in how they return home. But more on that in a minute. First, there is a deeply troubling backdrop to this story. Overshadowing everything, first Jesus' birth far from home, and now this mysterious and wondrous visit, is the reign of King Herod. He is the one who ordered that everyone go to their ancestral hometown to be registered. This is the reason why Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem. But it wasn't to get a census. It was so he could know how to tax them all, how he could more effectively line his own pockets by oppressing the people of the land yet more. Herod is interested in consolidating all possible power and resources under his own control. What's more, he will do whatever he can to dispose of anyone who appears to threaten his hold on said power. And so when the Magi arrive searching for Jesus, Herod is accordingly terrified. He wants the homage directed at him. Another king born in his land? It is a threat that he cannot stand. First, he tries to convince the Magi to give up what they learn, but they will not be party to his violent ways. They sidestep him, going home by a different road. Their clever resistance buys Jesus and his family just enough time to flee into exile. Not knowing this, Herod still tries to end him. He orders that all the children under 2 in the region be killed in the hopes that he'll get Jesus that way. He views all these small children as expendable collateral damage. This death and destruction, a justifiable means to his ends. Friends, as I read and reread today's passage, holding it alongside the unfolding news of Trump's strikes on Venezuela and the capture of their president and first lady, it gave me chills. I felt fear entering in deep in the pit of my stomach. Fear and also heartache. I fear another endless war, another one that, as a follower of the Prince of Peace, I do not believe can be justified. My heart aches as I remember the pain and fallout and destruction of past wars, like what this might become, the toll on both nations abroad and on our servicemen and women. My brother served 4 tours in Iraq. I remember. The cost of these actions is enormous, and it breaks my heart to see the suggestion that we may be heading in that direction again. I am not saying that Maduro was a good or righteous leader, or that his being in power was healthy for his people. Clearly, this is not the case. I am simply saying that violence is not the way forward, and that we cannot abide leaders who take lives in order to increase their own power and wealth. It is easy to feel helpless or to go numb. The forces at work here are so much larger and more powerful than any one of us. Too often it feels like there's not much we can do to change any of it. And yet, the Magi make their way through dangerous plots and threatened violence that are not so different from our own day. How might we live like them? As I've pondered this question in recent weeks, even before these attacks, I found myself returning to words shared by a wise one of our own day, scholar of social work and writer Brené Brown. I'm sure many of you have read her work. In one of her recent books, she expanded on the wisdom of Joan Halifax, a Buddhist teacher. Brown writes that our challenge can be understood as seeking to live with a strong back, a soft front, and a wild heart. Strong back, soft front, wild heart. In my mind, the Magi thoroughly embody these 3 stances. When Herod tries to pull them in as pawns to his violent scheme, they quietly but resolutely refuse to participate. They will not give him more specific information about Jesus' whereabouts, and they go home by another way. they find a way to resist. Strong back. But before that, even knowing that this threat is looming, certainly for the Christ child, but probably for them too, they still soften themselves in Jesus' presence. They kneel down and draw close to offer their gifts and gratitude. They let this beauty move them to awe. Soft front. And through it all, they let dreams and prophets and the night sky guide them. They trust beauty and wonder. They remember that the world is sacred and full of possibility, even as it leads them in the most unlikely ways. Wild heart. As our news cycle pulls me toward despair and worry, towards rage and numbness, the practices of the Magi woven together with this simple wisdom from Halifax and Brown seem to offer the beginning of a way forward. There is much that I cannot do, that we cannot control. And still, I believe we can search for ways to live in peace and resist becoming complicit in the violence of the world. We can root ourselves in the gospel and choose to live with strong backs. Anchored in this faith and the commitments we have made in and through it, we can continue practicing compassion together. We can insist on this way of love that Jesus taught us and teaches us still. We can decide to set hatred aside and choose to live together with soft fronts. And finally, we can trust that God is not finished with this world, that the Spirit is still on the loose, that the kingdom of God is still drawing near. We can listen and watch with wild hearts. The way forward is not clear or easy. It never was. But I hope that, like the Magi, we will practice these ways of resilience, of love, and of trust. And I hope that we will practice them together.